In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast. This morning, Jesus tells the story of a small group of lowly field hands who think that they are smart enough and fearsome enough to steal away the fortune of a wealthy landowner who clearly has more money, more resources, and more power than they can possibly imagine. It is a parable of pure lunacy. Christ in this parable is exaggerating. His listeners know it. In fact, as Jesus tells the story as he reaches the end, even those listeners can't believe the vine dresser's plan. Jesus asks them, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers who have beaten and killed his servants and even his son? And his listeners are very quick to respond. He will destroy those wicked men miserably, they say, and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Those listeners know there's not the slightest possibility that that plan is going to work. Not a chance. It's clear to everyone who hears our Lord's words. This is not so much a parable about wickedness as it is a parable about idiocy and bad choices. And the reason for these bad choices seem fairly clear, we think, right? The wickedness of the vine dressers, the sin which drives their poor planning, is nothing more than a big, good old pile of old-fashioned American greed, right? That seems to be the case. They decide that being slaves was not good enough. They want what belonged to the master. They want to claim for themselves something that belongs to another. And in their greed, they become blind to reason. They lose their good judgment. They choose an unhinged plan that has absolutely no chance of success. But if this is just a parable about kind of the crazy-making power of greed, then it's very easy to say that this parable is not about me. This parable is about other people. This parable is about the men and women of Wall Street who are so in love with money they think they can be king as well. But this parable is a parable for you and for me. It cannot be dismissed quite so easily. Pause and reflect a little bit more carefully on these vine dressers. Christ says that the master creates his vineyard from scratch, really. He digs and builds and plants on land that has never been used before. The master resides in a faraway country. The vineyard is in the middle of nowhere. In fact, the master builds a watchtower so that the servants might keep watch for thieves and foreign enemies who will try and break into the vineyard. Thieves and soldiers who will kill the farmers and kill their families. And the vineyard, we are told, is surrounded by hedges. The master was careful to plant hedges around the vineyard. And the hedges are there because the land is a wild, it's a dangerous place. Animals are constantly on the hunt, looking either for some food to steal, or they're hunting humans. The animals are hungry too. The vineyard is a dangerous place. When the sun sets, pitch dark. At night, every sound is a sound of an enemy or the sound of a predator. And then there's the weather. You can try and defend yourself against animals and thieves, but there's no defense against a hailstorm. There's no defense against drought or terrible flooding. The farmers have been called by the master to labor in a land that requires a great deal of risk-taking and trust. Trust that the master knows what he's doing. The risk must be taken that the master's will is the good plan for his vineyard and for his vine dressers. It's a scary place. As the sun rises each morning, the farmers wonder whether they will wake to find that their crops have been destroyed, whether they will have been left in this faraway place to starve to death. whether they are now vulnerable to disease. Farming is hard enough, but these farmers have been sent by their master to the lawless borderlands, a place where every stranger is a threat and where life is always in the balance. The vine dressers are not greedy. The vine dressers are scared out of their minds. The sin of the farmers in the parable is not giving in to greed. They sin by giving in to fear. They just can't take it anymore. And so they throw their faith in the master out the window. They begin to trust in themselves. They stop attending to the needs of today, and they think more and more about all the problems that tomorrow might bring. These farmers are not driven mad by greed. They are driven to despair by their fear. And so this parable very much is a parable for us. The farmers, because of fear, stop saying that the vineyard belongs to the master, and they start saying that the vineyard belongs to us. In the parable, each farmer becomes a little master. Each vine dresser now wants to be in control. And so it's not surprising, that madness takes over. A new message takes hold in the minds of the farmers. It's the message of every man for himself. Survival by any means necessary. I know what is best for me. Stop telling me what to do. We are no different. Raging greed may not be a problem for everyone, but fear is. Fear is. The fear that we are all alone. The fear that if I don't save and buy a house and follow the Kardashians like everyone else, then I will get sick and die. Fear of abandonment by others. Fear of what other people might think. Fear that the watchtower and the hedges that God has provided are not good enough for me. I can build a better tower. I can grow sturdier bushes. I can make the decisions that are best for my own survival. These are my riches. This is my body. This is my table. And you need to go and find another place to feed yourself and your family. Very quickly, that's where fear leads to. Brothers and sisters, fear is what makes them choose a plan that is so fantastically wrongheaded. It drives them to choose a strategy that has absolutely no chance of success, none. And as for them, so also for us. Fear makes us forget that we are servants, that we are not masters. Fear makes us forget that we are called by God to work in his fields, not to own and to organize them as we see fit. Fear convinces us to do less praying. Fear convinces us instead to do more planning. Fear makes us forget that nothing belongs to us, makes us forget that everything belongs to God. Fear makes us think that respect and reputation and a retirement account are more important than feeding the hungry and visiting those who are sick and in prison. Fear makes us think that grapevines are more important than grapes. Fear makes us think that projects are more important than people. And when we give in to that fear, our fertile farmland becomes dry and hard and ultimately lifeless. The good garden of delights entrusted to us by a God who calls us to labor faithfully and to trust in his grace and power is soon given over to others, if there's even anything left. This morning, Christ speaks to us. And he says, good people of St. Nicholas, do not be like the vine dressers. Do not be guided by fear. Do not forget that today is more important than tomorrow. Christ calls us to follow him by choosing love over fear. The people around you, to to love and not fear the people in your neighborhoods and in your schools and on your street corners. They are more valuable than the comfortable routines of just another Sunday morning. Christ reminds us that the opposite of fear is not confidence, it's not courage, it's not keeping a stiff upper lip. The opposite of fear, always, 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 the opposite of fear is love. Christ reminds us that the Master has given us everything. All that belongs to the Father is shared with his servants. As we labor for God, as we trust in the saving message of the gospel, as we take risks, and as we build our relationships, as we freely extend compassion and mercy, just as we have freely received these things, in all this, though we lose our lives, we gain Christ. With the Apostle Paul this morning, we can say that it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Along with Jesus, we can confirm that yes, the one who loses his life for the sake of the gospel really does receive true life. Though we lose our lives, we gain Christ. We become his body. We continue his ministry. We become the face and the hands and the feet and the voices and the wallets through which people are moved away from hopelessness and back to the joy of knowing that they really are loved by God. A God who has never stopped moving in their direction. We become the ones that deliver that message to them. In the conclusion of his letter to the Corinthians, his first letter to the Corinthians this morning, St. Paul reminds them and us of how we should be tending the fields. He tells us how to accomplish this good work of the kingdom, what the vine dressers missed. Let all that you do be done in love, writes St. Paul. And he reports joy. Joy in hearing how the many households are working together and serving each other's needs. Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus devote themselves to supporting and encouraging the missionaries of the gospel. Through their labors of encouragement, their labors of mutual love, they refresh the spirits of the apostles and the teachers, those who take the message of Jesus Christ to a world that really needs it, an unbelieving world. And with joy, Paul sends along affectionate greetings from the sister churches. Paul reminds the Corinthians to greet one another with a holy kiss. Brothers and sisters, this morning God is once again looking for those kinds of laborers. The Master needs some farmers for the harvest. And thankfully, the good Lord is looking for only one basic skill, one skill. To work for the kingdom, to enter the kingdom, and to bring along as many people as possible, you do not need an MBA. You do not need a healthy portfolio. You do not need eloquence or charm or influence or connections or power or anything like that. God is only looking for one basic skill. For the kingdom, love is the one necessary qualification. That's it. The same love which Christ continues to offer to us at this divine liturgy. To us this morning, Christ offers himself in love for us and for the whole world. The Holy Spirit is poured out on us and on the gifts of bread and wine once again so that we become the body of Christ. Once again this morning in love, we are invited by Christ to come forward, not timidly, but to come forward, as we say over and over again in the liturgy, with boldness. To once again dare to call on God as Father. Yet again, as always, Christ calls us into the kingdom, and once again, afterwards, he will send us out into the world to freely give that which is freely given to us today. He calls us to be a blessing even as we have been blessed. He calls us to love one another even as he loves us. He calls us to love without fear. Brothers and sisters, in this, our garden of delights, in Salem, our communities around the North Shore, our towns, our shorelines, the watchtower of prayer and worship is high enough. The hedges of compassion and fellowship, They're thick enough. The grapes are fully grown, and they are most certainly ready for harvest. And the master's waiting. The master's waiting to share all that he has with his good and faithful servants. He's waiting to share his life with you, and he is waiting to share his life with me. Joyous feast.